Should pro-life messaging be allowed in the Alberta school system?
If the minister demands that a school not allow a pro-life presentation, then he's clearly crossed the line. It wouldn't be a hard constitutional case to make at all that he's violating our fundamental freedoms. And he could expect multiple court challenges, I'm sure about that.
On the feature today, ARPA Executive Director Mark Penninga on a controversy that erupted in Red Deer over a pro-life presentation at a local Catholic high school. In the news, Ottawa cuts summer student job funding to pro-life groups, a proposed amendment to Ontario's Bill 89, which essentially accomplishes nothing, a court case over belief in the Easter Bunny, and ARPA has hired its new Alberta director.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The federal government is moving to eliminate summer student job funding to pro-life and pro-family groups. The move comes after a complaint from the Abortion Rights Coalition. The Canadian Centre for Bioethical Reform is one of the groups affected. The centre's Jonathan Van Maren.
Canada Summer Jobs Program is a really simple program. The government set it up to make sure that students who are going back to school could get some sort of funding so that they wouldn't have to rely entirely on student loans to pay off what they did. The only bar to pass was if you employed students, and if those students were going back to school, then you would qualify for this. So since 2012, CCBR, who employed students, has always received some of that funding to offset the salary of those students who are working there because we employ a lot of them.
Van Maren says the ban covers a wide spectrum of groups.
The Abortion Rights Coalition of Canada is going after crisis pregnancy centers and anybody who essentially holds to the sanctity of life.
He says it's difficult to know how to counter this decision, but it is definitely wrong.
It's government funding, right? So nobody's entitled to it, but what's happened is that there's been an ideological purity test that's been inserted rather suddenly and rather obviously due to pressure from a single ideological group. The government doesn't have to give the money to anybody, but what's very, very clear here is that they actually decide which citizens in Canada do work worthy of support and which don't. We actually employ a lot of students, so do other pro-life groups, and that's now considered something unworthy of federal support.
But Martin says they'll do some fundraising to make up the financial shortfall, and they're talking with lawyers to see if the government can actually discriminate with its funding on the basis of ideological concerns. Committee debate continuing at Queen's Park in Toronto on Bill 89. That's the Ontario Liberal government's move to rewrite the laws around child protection, adoption, and fostering. The bill has prompted a lot of concern that parental rights are being completely ignored. ARPA supporters and others have been sending letters to the government and the opposition on this. ARPA lawyer John Sikkema.
The response that we've been getting from the opposition critic, the progressive conservative critic, is that they have tabled an amendment to protect religious freedom. So we looked into that to find out what that amendment was. And the amendment is actually three words. It says, creed includes religion, because the new law uses the term creed, whereas the old law used the term religion. Now, legally, these mean basically the same thing. So this amendment is essentially a non-amendment that seems to be something that they're relying on to tell us that they are taking action to defend religious freedom and parental authority, but legally there's no substance there.
Sikkema says the conservative amendment won't do anything to protect parents or foster parents because the term creed is meant to apply to children, not adults. Even the minister responsible, he says, has made that clear in the context of the other material that's in that list.
As the minister said, where someone is not affirming their child in their sexual orientation or gender identity, that may be considered a form of child abuse because these things are being added as matters to be considered in promoting the child's best interest, which is what the law is all about. So in that case, how does freedom of religion play into that from the parents' perspective? How are they free to respond in a way that's consistent with their beliefs and worldview to children's struggles with sexual identity and sexual orientation and those things? And that's what's not accounted for. And that's what the conservative proposed amendment does absolutely nothing to remedy.
Still no firm date for the bill to go to full debate in the legislature. On a related note, the Children's Aid Society in Hamilton is being taken to court over a decision to remove two young children from a foster home there. The reason? Well, it was ostensibly because the foster parents refused to proactively affirm the notion that the Easter Bunny is real. John Carpe from the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms is taking on this case.
What's important here is that if you've got foster parents who are providing a loving, caring home and the kids are clothed and fed and they're given affection and attention, then it's pretty scary when a social worker says, because you're not going to proactively teach the kids what I want you to teach them, we're going to close down your foster home. If there's an insistence on the Easter Bunny being real, and yet there's no insistence on saying that the resurrection of Christ is real, you do see an ideological aggressiveness that's there, and it has to be fought and resisted.
Carpe says the foster parents are not looking for any kind of damages. They just want a court to rule that the Children's Aid Society made a mistake. And finally, ARPA has hired a new Alberta director. The position had been posted on the website for more than a month. In the end, the job goes to a man named Ed Hogerdyk. He's the longtime principal of Tyndale Christian School in Calgary. Hogerdyk is committed to one more year of work at the school, so the new position will actually take effect in the summer of 2018. Back with more after this.
ARPA Canada has a friendly challenge for you. Western Canada, British Columbia to Manitoba versus Eastern Canada, Ontario out to the Maritimes. Letter to the Editor Contest. Who can get the most letters published by the end of 2017? This is sponsored by Compass Creative, who is sponsoring 5 entry categories, and the winner of each category will receive a $200 gift certificate to Amazon.ca. For tips and more info, visit arpacanada.ca.
And we're back on the program. A major controversy in Alberta earlier this month over whether or not the pro-life position should be able to get a hearing in the Catholic school system there. The case involves ARPA, at least peripherally. I've got ARPA's executive director, Mark Peniga, on the line from his office to talk about this. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be with you, Al.
So there's a story out of Alberta from just before Easter. There was a young lady who was a member of, well, she's been associated with one of the ARPA chapters there. She was part of the life tour. We're not going to talk about her identity because there's some tension involved there for her. But talk to me a little bit about the story of her making a presentation, a pro-life presentation at a Catholic high school and what that resulted in.
Yeah, this young lady, who's very kind, sweet girl, she made a presentation in a Catholic school, very much like the kinds of presentations that we as ARPA staff make in schools all the time. So along the lines of what we call Pro-Life 101. And in that presentation, she equated the preborn children and what's happening to them through abortion in Canada with the Holocaust. And I think for many of us, we understand that comparison. We saw how in World War II, the Germans had made a real effort to dehumanize the Jews, and as a result, that led to the Holocaust, led to the slaughter of millions of people. And we also see so many efforts today to take away the human identity of preborn children and to use that then to excuse and allow and even celebrate abortion. So she made this presentation in the school. Someone recorded that presentation with their phone, shared it. News traveled really quickly all the way to the Minister of Education in Alberta. He was irate. He was upset. And within very little time, lashed out against the fact that this school allowed this presentation. The media picked it up. Not just the Alberta media. It spread like wildfire right across the country, even making headlines in the Globe and Mail. So quite amazing that one presentation from a young reformed girl done in a very respectful way would get that kind of national attention simply because of a rational argument being made about abortion.
And beyond that now, the minister is talking about some kind of governmental policy to screen all presenters in all schools in Alberta. Can they even do that?
Well, he made a comment to the effect of saying how it's unfortunate that the province's excellent filters didn't catch this. And it's a good reminder, he said, for everybody to be vigilant to make sure this kind of hateful propaganda doesn't infiltrate our schools. So the question is that allowed? Well, from a constitutional perspective, we would say, of course not. The Minister of Education definitely has responsibility when it comes to overseeing the public education system in Alberta. But that's very different than being able to demand that a topic that he doesn't like is not talked about. So in this case, the topic of abortion is not talked about in a religious school. Freedom of association, which is a fundamental freedom protected in Section 2 of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, very clearly emphatically protects the rights of an association like a school to be able to exist around the principles that it believes in. So can he do that? Can he order that schools not allow a topic like this to be talked about? Not at all. That doesn't mean, though, that he won't do what he can to make it very unattractive for schools to invite speakers like this again. Even that Catholic school immediately expressed regret for not having reviewed her presentation ahead of time and for that particular argument within the presentation. So it does create that chill across the province, and that's something we should all be concerned about.
You know, there was another angle to this, accessing information, not myths. That's an activist group in Alberta that certainly wouldn't be aligned with ARPA, but they want a province-wide investigation on this whole thing in light of the presentation. And ARPA issued a press release shortly after that call going, yeah, bring it on. There's a whole bunch of other things going on in the context of Alberta education as well, right?
It was rather surprising that these words came from the Minister of Education, these words of concern about third parties and their influence in the education system. And we say it's surprising because for the whole year, we as ARPA and working alongside hundreds of Albertans have been trying to raise awareness. We've been trying to get the ear of the education minister about how third parties are already infiltrating the school system. They're already promoting all sorts of harmful, hurtful ideologies. We saw that this last year in regard to the way in which this radical gender ideology is being forced onto all schools. But we see it more recently. Some of our listeners might be familiar with Ted Byfield. He's been a reporter in Alberta for many years. On his own blog, he's been covering how it's been impossible for him to find out who is behind this massive overhaul of the entire curriculum in Alberta. Apparently, there's 300 to 400 experts who are working with the Minister of Education to do what is considered by the minister the most sweeping reform that this school curriculum's ever seen. But we don't know who these 300 to 400 people are. We have no idea. And even freedom of information requests are being denied. So we see all sorts of experts. We see all sorts of individuals who are having unparalleled influence in the education system. We don't know who they are. And that's very concerning. So yeah, we'd love to find out more about who's infiltrating the public education system. Another example comes even more recently, just in the past couple of weeks. A different organization altogether, Informed Albertans, they've been uncovering how the Alberta government's funding, it's promoting a website, and that website's including links that's delivering very graphic, sexually graphic images, very disturbing content, and it's delivering that to school-aged children from K to 12, and it's doing that through the Gay Straight Alliance Network. That's another example in which the Alberta government seems to have no problem at all allowing third-party influences in the public education system that are in accordance with its worldview, and yet suddenly it's very concerned about third-party influences that might question something like abortion. It's very hypocritical.
There's a quote from you on LifeSite News talking about, you know, if the minister says he just doesn't approve of what was said in Red Deer, he's probably not violating the charter. But if Agan orders schools not to allow this or penalizes schools that allow these kinds of presentations, he can expect a lawsuit from ARPA. That was the quote on LifeSite News. Have we done the legal research to go down that road?
Over the last year, independent schools in Alberta have been doing legal research to see at what point they should consider a court case against the Ministry of Education in that province. And it's difficult to know at what point to take that action. What we see is the minister is doing a careful dance. He's pressuring schools to promote an agenda, an ideology that he believes is something we should be promoting. And he's using very strong language, but we're not quite sure how much teeth is behind that language. So if a school does not comply, what happens then? So we're actually waiting to see how the minister responds to what the independent schools have sent him when it comes to the guidelines. So that's a very similar instance to what we're seeing here. If the minister demands that a school not allow a pro-life presentation, then he's clearly crossed the line. It wouldn't be a hard constitutional case to make at all that he's violating our fundamental freedoms. And he could expect multiple court challenges, I'm sure about that.
Mark, we'll leave it at that for now. Thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate your time, Al. Thank you.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.